Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
I'm calling my message this morning, Freedom From What and Freedom To What? I had been ministered to by the Lord to remember a season of my history many years ago when I had the opportunity. I was living in Columbia, Missouri. I was a part of a church there called Christian Fellowship. Just desirous to be involved in ministry. And God had opened a door for that church to be involved at a prison in Jefferson City. Some of you may have heard about it. I'm not sure. I had never heard about it before until I went there. But it was called MSP. That was the initials. It was in Missouri State Penitentiary. Would qualify as a supermax. I kind of looked that up this morning. What does a supermax, what does that mean? But it's a dedicated prison, obviously for some of the worst offenders. Definitely at the juncture that it was open, it had closed in 2004, but for the season that it was open, and it was open from, get this, 1832 to 2004. Wow. And I'm going to show you just a little bit about that. But as we get into it, this is the front. Right now, believe it or not, I went there. We went to Jeff City, and I don't know. I must have been sleeping. But I remember Sue and I went somewhere between 2004 and I can't even remember what year. I'm thinking the thing's still open. But no, it's now open for tours. So if you ever want to go, and I even think they do evening ghost tours, which is craziness. But you know, it's amazing. I look back and think, I really did go in here for ministry. For those that have ever watched the movie Shawshank Redemption, it's a step up in terms of even more eerie and frightening, if you will. So. It's amazing they let us in to do ministry, and then when I get to showing you where we had to go to do the ministry, it may even shock you a little bit more. But anyway, all right, so here's some of the other views. I'm going to kind of go through some of this morning. On the left is how I remember it. Those are the main doors, the two blue doors. I remember walking up, going through those blue doors on the right to get into the prison, and you were, of course, welcomed with this little window, plexiglass, checking in, who are you? And I'll get to it in a second. I actually somehow ended up with this little card that was a volunteer card that enabled me, shocking as it is, to get into this prison whenever I wanted to do it. So I could literally drive there on a Wednesday, a Thursday afternoon, just show up unannounced, go to the front door and say, I want to see Sam, which I will tell the story a little bit later about doing just that. But it's amazing to think that they would give the power to, and of course, it was tied to ministry, so don't get me wrong. But nowadays, with the security that we have, it's kind of an amazing thing that they would do that. And so let's go through a few more of these pictures. It was called the walls, and there's a reason why. It is, if you're walking around it, and you could, this is just the exterior streets to it. That was one of the quarry that they built the prison out of on all those stones, gave it its name, the walls. And each of these little huts, if you will, or things, when they were active, when I would go, there was always a sniper, a guy sitting in, guard, sitting in that with his rifle pointed, ready for any kind of action, which was always kind of amazing. There's another couple of views of those and the walls themselves. And then this is the inside of the prison, which I never got to see the inside in terms of the actual prison cells themselves. They would take us through many corridors, though, to get to where the chapel was, which I find amazing that we did that. It wasn't one of these things where you entered in and you went to the room on the right, like next to the visitor's room, and so the prisoners would take their time getting through all the corridors and everything to get to you. But instead, shocking, once again, as it was, they took us through the many corridors. I don't know how many gates and little corridors that we had to go through that would close and open up a new set, but at least three or four of them to get us to where the chapel, which was located in the middle of the yard. which is just amazing. So here's some shots of the prison. Like I said, here's another set showing what it looked like. These are present photos. I think when they do the tours, obviously you can see the rust and the damage, but giving you kind of a glimpse at what it looked like. And so this would have been one of the corridors that they would have brought us through. And so then each of these, if I can use my little laser pointer here, each of these little gates would open and shut. You'd go behind that, then it'd shut behind you. So you had that feeling like, I'm not leaving quickly, no matter what's happened to me or what might happen to those of us that were volunteering. I'm not getting out of here anytime fast. Now, here is like a global look of the prison itself. And if I use my laser point here, you can see I'm kind of doing the perimeter of the entire prison. There's some of it that's, I believe the wall is down because this is more of a recent, I believe, photo. But you can see all the perimeter getting the name for the walls. Now, right in the middle, in this area, this would have been the yard. And then right where my laser is right now, that's the chapel. Put the chapel center in the middle of the yard. So for those who remember the Shawshank Redemption, where those guys were always hanging out in the middle of the yard, talking, there's people lifting weights, people doing all this different stuff. That all was happening. I remember it distinctly. And you always had that eerie feeling as you're walking into the middle of the yard, into the chapel. I'm kind of just out here, unprotected. Like, I'm not carrying a weapon. And I don't see anybody around me guarding me with a weapon. But you are out there exposed to all of these different people that were there. And here's another closer shot of the chapel, just to give you the idea. So we would have come through this door here and then walked out and walked into the chapel in the middle. Wow. So what do I remember about this unique opportunity? Well, we had an opportunity to get into this prison and fellowship in this chapel every week. And so for the many years that I got an opportunity to do it, we would go in on a Tuesday evening and minister both in worship, in prayer, just encouraging the brethren there, and then also getting a time to teach. Now, the model that we did back then in those days, which this would make sense to those of you who have been around a while, we really tried to copy kind of like what you do in a normal church service. Looking back, I wonder if that was maybe the best choice. It might not have been, but that was what we did. We'd go in and basically help these gentlemen enter into worship, praise the Lord. We would bring in our own guitar and do a time of ministry, a time of worship and encouragement. But what I remember the most, and I'm going to get into it in a little bit here, was the impact of two people that were there in prison. One was by the name of Earl, and the other one's name was Johnny Mitchell. I believe Earl's last name was Davis. But these two guys, both of them were guilty of capital crimes. One was in, I believe, for life, and then the other one with an opportunity for parole, and the other one was in for two capital crimes and two life sentences without parole. And so an amazing thing, and what I really want to minister on this morning is the topic of freedom, and freedom in the midst of circumstances that you aren't in control of, or perhaps you did something to get into those circumstances, but you're not in control of getting out of those circumstances like these two brothers were not. However, the distinct thing I remember about these two guys was that they encouraged me. To this day, I don't know of any two brothers that I have met that were stronger encouragers, that had more of a visible evident sign of the joy of the Lord emanating from them and their hearts. I have not seen it ever since. And so the one with the worst sentence, the two life sentences, was actually the one that was the stronger one, full of joy and encouragement. And me walking in there, I'm this 20-something year old in Bible college, desiring to learn about ministry, and yet I'm finding myself like, wait, Lord, I'm supposed to be helping them. But each week I would go and get taught and ministered and encouraged by these two men that were in prison with these sentences hanging over them. Think about the fact, what did they have to look forward to? They knew the rest of their days they were going to be in prison. And yet, They had a grip on a revelation of freedom and encouragement that is just amazing despite their circumstances, and hence what I want to share on this morning. A few famous names that were in this prison, I found this out, I had to share this with you. I wasn't really aware of this, but a few of the names I recognize: Sonny Liston, Pretty Boy Floyd was there, James Earl Ray, just as some examples. But it just goes to show, you know, this was a hardcore prison in here. All right, I have to show this, although it is a bit embarrassing. This is the card I had. This would get me in. Yes, I did have a mustache back then. I'm sure you guys are loving to see that. But anyway, this was it. This would get you in to the prison and the Department of Corrections. Amazing. So now, just to shift gears, I did pull this up. This is one of the two gentlemen, Johnny Mitchell. He's still in. He's in, as it says here, he's in Charleston now. I think they moved him, once the prison shut down, they moved him to Potosi. The prison shut down in 2004, and then now he's at a prison in Charleston, which I'm not familiar with, but obviously that's where he's at. And you can see here that this is all public, obtainable. I'm not sharing anything that's, anybody can go out and find these things. But he's in capital murder, 2 counts, completed sentence not found. I'm not actually sure, but it does say life, no parole. So I'm thinking they did the 2 consecutive 50 years. So I was thinking about it, doing the math. I'm like, I think he might be hitting his 50 around 2025. I don't know. Rick, what do you know? I don't know if you'd get out, even if you have no parole, but if you've done your term, I don't know if you get out or not. It's a good question. But the interesting thing is the other gentleman, who's Earl, who I was bringing this up with Don Sr. Kassenbaum. He doesn't remember this, but years and years ago, I was at Don's home. So it's before Cosmos was actually at a building. I think it was, you guys were operating it out of Don's home in Ellisville. But I remember distinctly him talking about this guy that he was ministering to in Gumbo Prison named Earl. And I thought, can't be the same guy. So he kept talking about him, and I pulled him aside, and sure enough, was the same guy. And I remember Don talking about him, just how flamboyant and positive and joyful Earl had been, even in making an impression on him as well. So what do you know, right? So, wow. So that's the end of my slide deck here. But what I wanted to do was, as I said, talk about freedom this morning. And for those that aren't Bible scholars, probably not too many in the room with a bunch of Bible reference books. I don't know if Mark has one, but there is a book called the Unger's Bible Dictionary. It used to be the classic book you go to for kind of like definitions and things, studying the Bible. Its definition of freedom is this: through regeneration and sanctification, the bondage of sin is completely destroyed, and thus believers become free indeed. Wow, powerful. Freedom, what does it mean? And what does it mean for those that desire to be free? And I think, as I said, the understanding that I got from one of those brothers, it was Earl, the most powerful understanding was I had of righteousness of God and who we are in Christ. And what does that mean in terms of our freedom? That God has wrought for us and paid a price so that we are free. That it's not something that we obtain through working hard, studying hard, you know, chasing something down, but instead it's something that God has earned for us. But having said that, where are we in our lives? What does it mean in terms of where we're at? And I think that's an important thing. And as it says here in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So it is an understanding, it's a revelation, but it's a truth. It's not something we're just conjuring up. It's not positive thinking that's having this impact in our lives, but it's a fact of something that's been done for us in the heavenlies. The Lord has given us and established for us freedom. And we are to stand firm in that freedom. So this scripture would say to me that it's possible to drift out of that freedom by my own choice, by my own doing, and get subject to something that isn't what the Lord had in mind for me. As it says here, kind of a yoke of slavery. And so I think it's important to focus on that. And so I ask you today, where are you at? Are you seeing yourself in a situation where you do not feel free? You might say, gosh, Mike, I know and I understand what the Lord has done for me. I understand that this freedom that you're speaking about has been given to me. But are you experiencing it in your life? And so let me give you specific situations. And I do this not to in any way embarrass or in any way highlight from a negative viewpoint, but just to be real, because I think all of us face situations in our lives and in our circumstances in our life where we don't feel free mentally, in our own hearts. What do I'm talking about? I'm talking about that you are thinking forward towards another day, another situation where, God, if only you would bring me into this, I would be free. But right now, right here in my life, I feel as though I'm imprisoned in a way. And so, you know, some of these situations I'll highlight is I'm in a dead-end job that I can't leave. I need the money, and it's too late, really, in my life for a change. Or I'm in a financial prison of debt and see no way out. It's where I'm at today, Mike. I just don't see any way out. You might even be feeling like this, which is not positive, but it's a truthful situation for some. I feel trapped in the marriage that I'm in. We were both unbelievers when we were married. I'm saved now, but my spouse isn't. And as a result, we're unequally yoked, but we're married, we're committed, but it's led to situations in our own lives on a week-to-week basis that just, it's always, always hard and challenging. Perhaps you're in a situation where even within your own family life, with your children, the relationships are broken and you feel trapped, you feel imprisoned to the fact that, why am I in this situation where I don't have healthy relationships with my children? Mike, I want to be free of that. I want to enter into something that's better for me. All of these situations are real. I think it's wrong for us to have a viewpoint where we try to positive think ourselves out of these situations, or we ignore them, or we don't really grasp the fact of the reality of what we are in. But just as these two brothers that I ministered to so long ago, you'd never know that they were in for two or one life sentence. You would never know that hanging over their head, they had months and years left in that prison that I showed you pictures of. If those guys can overcome and have a joyful, positive attitude when that's what they have to look forward to, how much more so can God give us the ability that despite our circumstances, despite the things that we're facing in our lives, we can break through those things and get a hold of the revelation that God has given us this freedom where we can walk in encouragement and in joy and in happiness. And I guarantee you, Mark, I'm thinking about just all the brothers and sisters that you minister to in Africa who live in circumstances far less than what we have in terms of food, clothing, shelter, the basics, and yet they travel for miles and they come and their services are most of the day and into the evening, and they look forward to and have a joy, sorry guys, that exceed ours at times, even though we have in excess, so far in excess, food, shelter, clothing, all the different things that we have. And I think that's what happens to us, right? Is that we get lulled into a dependency on the circumstances in our life driving happiness. I remember this was a real happening. When I was in college, and in some of my early days with the Lord, there was a group that, and I'm not thinking of their name, but was very into prophetic. And I remember one of them coming to me and saying, I have a word for you. And I was like, okay, you got a word for me. Back in that day, this was probably in the 80s, I wasn't very used to that, somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, I got a word for you. So, and if I remember right, it was even on college campus. I think I might have been over at the pool at the Med Center back in the day when the pool wasn't so nice as it is now. They're at the glorious rec center for those that have been there recently. But so I'm at the pool, this person pulls me aside, and it was dead on from the Lord. And it said, basically, Mike, your joy is coming from happenings in your life, and you're looking to that for the joy rather than from me. And it just hit me head on that early in my life that that's true. It's like I'm bouncing up and down during the week based on what my circumstances are, what's going on in my life. And if it's a great day, great things are happening to me, my joy's up here. If things aren't going so great, it's kind of a melancholy day, things are just kind of this, my joy is much lower. And I really felt the Lord convict me then, and it's hung with me ever since that time, these many years later, of the truth of the fact that God desires for us to carry joy independent of the circumstances in our lives. And so here it is. So one of the things I wanted to do here before we will have a time of ministry at the end. We will have the prayer team come up and give an opportunity for you to join your faith if you find yourself in some of these circumstances. And I want you to just be praying, Lord, is that me? Should I come up? Should I join my faith with the brothers and sisters that will come up at the end? And I want to encourage you to do that. But before we do that, I want to help you with just a few things in terms of what does it mean to have this freedom, and from what does Christ set us free? So I told you at the beginning, it's freedom from what and freedom to what, right? So freedom from what? God has freed us from guilt, no question. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. We've been freed. There's no longer a need to live in any type of guilt in our lives. Christ has freed us from old habits. The old habits of sin no longer have dominion over us. We may experience the presence of sin, but we do not need to live under its power any longer. Those, as it says in Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Wow. What else? Christ has freed us from anxiety. Anybody in the room struggle with anxiety week to week? Just maybe a little bit? Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Encourage you to pull that up, read that this week. He has done what we need to do, what he has done, what he has needed to do to enable us to walk in freedom from anxiety. No question. Christ has freed us from bondage to old wounds. Wow. Another real thing, especially for those of us that are getting to be more senior in our years. We all have had things that have happened to us that have hurt us from time to time. There's been different times in my life like, Lord, why have you designed us to be this way? You don't want us to be in these situations where things have hurt us and it's affected us years and years to come later. But it's the reality of the way that God has designed us. And God doesn't want us carrying those wounds with us and as like an additional burden. But the Lord's wanting us to be released from any and all things. And so I encourage you to look up Mark 11:25 and stand in that freedom. Stand in the ability to walk separately from the dominion that those kinds of things can happen in your life. Christ has given us blessings beyond imagination that can just power through any and all things that we've walked through. Three more things here. Christ has freed us from the power of bad relationships. He's freed us and enabled us to love and serve all around us while maintaining legitimate boundaries.
Yes.
And that's an excellent point, is I think many times one of the revelations that we have to learn is the fact of boundaries, being aware of the fact that it's healthy for us to set up boundaries in our life where we know something can affect us in a negative way. We can set up a boundary to avoid situations and in some respects avoid an intimate relationship or friendship or just a general relationship that can have a negative effect on us. We can set a boundary up, yes. And that can be healthy. I think in my earlier years, you might have thought, well, is that being a Christian? I mean, I can't just set that aside or block that relationship, or that's not really respectful or loving or forget. Well, there are times that you need to do that. You need to set up healthy boundaries. Christ has freed us from idols or wrong centers. A lot of times the word idol is just kind of a interesting descriptor that we don't understand, but call it a wrong focus or center. It's like that center of focus in our life that where our passion gets beyond where the Lord wants it to be. And I think there's many things in all of our lives that are very healthy and fine. There's nothing wrong at all with having a joy and a passion for the particular career or the particular job or service or trade that you're in. Not at all. But I think it's all done and needs to be done within kind of a balance of what the Lord has for us in terms of Him being center, Him being our greatest passion and joy, just keeping things in balance, right? And finally, 7, Christ has freed us from the fear of death. Death has lost its sting. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says that very thing, that we can be and rest assured that death has lost its sting and Christ has freed us. Wow, just powerful.
Yes.
All right. And then 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so this scripture does, I think, encapsulate the fact that this is the revelation and where the Spirit of the Lord is. And that Spirit of the Lord was there at that prison that we were at, in that chapel. That was the other thing that I remember. It just came to my mind, is that I felt like the anointing and the presence of God, so we all can use that descriptor, like it was just thick in the air. I remember that there in those meetings that we had with those guys, I have never felt just the anointed presence of God in such a heavy way. Speaking to my heart, the Lord's desire, as it says in the scripture, to minister to those who were in prison. That God's heart, his just merciful, merciful heart, yes. Despite what these men have done, there's just such a compassion that Christ has for those even there and desires us to minister to those men. All right. So here is the scripture. I promised at the very beginning that it was going to be freedom from something and then freedom to. And for those that remember when Dan was here recently, Dan very clearly stated it's what we are called to something, right?
Yes.
We are called to something. And so the freedom to is what? Freedom to, as we'll read here, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. And so there it is, freedom to serve. That's the point that God wants us to grasp in our lives. Step one, get to this place of healthy freedom in our lives. But step two, the mature Christian life is to move beyond that and to move in service as we are doing as a body here. And so, it was in my heart to just underlay and to support the direction that we're going as a church and as a community, and to emphasize the fact that it's a mature thing that God's called us to get beyond ourselves, to get beyond the wounds and the things that we might be holding us and keeping us from freedom, and to move into service. And that's where we're heading as a body. I think it's just so important for us to get a hold of that. It is the mature state that we want to get to. But we're going to have a time of prayer here towards the end of the meeting. If you're not there, you say, Mike, great, I want to do that, but I'm just not there. Can I join my faith and pray with brothers and sisters to get to that place? And so, final thing I wanted to just share, quick testimony, and then I'll turn it over to us for announcements. But one of the opportunities I had, as I mentioned, that card, that prison card that I had, and why I didn't do it more often, I look back and think, I just can't believe I had this opportunity. But one of those weeks during one of those years, I did just decide on my own, separate from the group of brothers that I would always drive from Columbia to Jeff City, went on my own, went to Jeff City with the intent in mind to visit one of those two guys. And then when I got there, typically the mantra was you go in, you go to that front area, I want to see Johnny Mitchell. Okay, so then they go through this rigmarole. I'm sorry, but Johnny's in the visiting room already. He's meeting with so-and-so. Oh, man. So can I meet with Earl? Okay, let me see. And they get back to you. Nope, sorry, he's in the, I don't know where he was. He was maybe in the, serving in his job or something. And so the only other brother that I had in mind, which I remember seeing every week during that time, his name was Willie. I said, well, then I'd like to see Willie. And so, okay. And so they would go, just amazing that you had the ability to do this. So they would go, make all these phone calls, get on the phone, take it to the channels, and they'd find wherever Willie was. He could have been out in the middle of the yard, wherever. And they would, first of all, ask him, do you want to visit with Mike Stafford? Well, sure. Okay. And then he came, we met. And I'll never forget this. I can say it without getting too choked up. It was, and I think in the 15 years that he had been there, I'm the only person that had ever come visit him. And so, you know, God uses opportunity like that to bring fulfillment in our lives. God's made us free to be able to do things like that, to powerfully minister to people. Whether it's Sparrow's Nest or all the different ministries that we have an opportunity as a church, the school across the way, God has given us an opportunity to serve and impact people's lives. And I'm telling you, the greatest fulfillment that you will get in your life as a Christian is ministering in this level of maturity where you can serve and love and share the gospel, share his love with others as we serve. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you, God, that you desire for us to serve and to love everyone, God, that you have in our path. Each of us have a sphere of influence, a sphere of opportunity. And God, I just pray that you would move within this local body in a greater and greater way, even as we are endeavoring to do, to minister to the school across the street, Father, the athletic team, God, the band even, what all the opportunities that we could get there. And Lord, all the opportunities through the weekly bread and cookies and different things that we minister to through the graciousness of the Bread Co. Father, I pray that you would use that as an opportunity for ministry. And each and every person in this room, God, has unique settings that they may not even be thinking about in terms of opportunity to serve. And so, Lord, we pray that you would enlighten us and move in our hearts to use us as you would be so gracious and kind to do. And I pray that you would lead people into the kingdom through our kindness and through our service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.